What happens when you decide that you are ready to take your life to the next level? I'm here to tell you your path to success will not be a straight or quick timeline. It will ask of you to shed your old story, build your emotional intelligence, and put down the story of struggle once and for all to bring your visions to life. This is the unedited audio doc narrated by me, Nina Hayes, providing real life examples and lessons to help you on your journey of becoming elite. So if you're ready, let's go. Hey, elite, welcome back to today's podcast episode. As you can tell from today's title, we're talking about neglecting yourself for the sake of showing up for others. And I really want to dive into this topic because this is something that once you come to the realization of, it can be very damaging. It can be something where it can drive you angry. It can drive you into a shame spiral. It can make you want to isolate. And I'm telling you this from experience, it can make you really look at the world and look at people differently. People may tell you, you know, hey, you shouldn't be giving so much of yourself to other people. Just tell people no and just set more boundaries and just stand up for yourself and just stop overgiving yourself and just stop people pleasing. Like, people can tell you that. But most of the time, people that tell you that often tell you that from a place of post-realization. And I really want to have this conversation with you from a place of going back to the time before I fully decided it was time to put down the people-pleasing and actually say no. If you have a hard time saying no, or if you are realizing that you've been showing up for everybody else and people are not showing up for you, there's multiple reasons why this could be, right? I don't want you to think this episode is the end all be all. I don't want you to think that you can just look on social media and find your answers, because this type of conversation is more of a self-mastery and self-actualization topic. This is something where you have to actually get into closed doors with people and have this type of conversation where you know that it is a safe space for you. Because a lot of times people try to have this conversation in places such as, you know, big events, and they try to have like empowerment brunches and things like that to try to have this conversation or to create this space where women can just be free and just be crying and just be having all of that. But then you turn around and now you're looking at a 2-second event recap and there's you, you know, full on tears, crying and praising God. And now it's become a monetization video that is played over and over again to attract the next group of people. And I think for a lot of people, they are realizing that they really do need spaces that are private and that can help them get through this healing part. One thing that I've noticed is that with social media continuing to evolve and do its thing, it no longer has become this space for outreach. It's become this space for how can you get the attention of people. And I think that's beautiful in one sense because, you know, before, people's attention was so focused on just work your 9-to-5, just go to college, get your degree, get your house with the white picket fence, just focus on that, and you'll be good and you can climb the ladder. But now with social media, people have access to anywhere in the world. They're able to, in, you know, 5 seconds, pull up an app and see their dream life and see things that are different from the life that they grew up from or the life that they were told that they needed to live. And so it really puts people at a discourse of their real life not having their full attention, and then their social, or, you know, their digital life having all of their attention. For a lot of people, they're like, oh, you know, you're going into a depression because you're online and you're doing all these things. But the real question I would ask you to ask yourself is, what are you actively looking for? When I actually started asking myself that question, I actually pulled back from social media heavy. I no longer post on TikTok. I no longer post on Instagram. I only post on my podcast. I don't even post on YouTube, which I've had people say, well, you need to show up, you know, and post on YouTube. And I do believe that I'll more than likely expand over to YouTube because of those longer conversations. But I also realized that the fight for attention leaves little room for people to actively search for what they need. It's almost as if whoever can be the jester and dance and, you know, by an ad that is fully showing up in your face is the person that wins. And you may even notice, if you work with clients, you may have even noticed that your clients aren't even on apps like that anymore. They've gotten offline. They really are detoxing and they're taking their vacations. And if anything, social media is them documenting what they already did. So how do you find those people when they're not online? How do you get around those people? And that has been my entire focus this past year. It has been one of the most amazing things that I have done. I have shared the journey here in the podcast, but I also have left timeless information on TikTok and Instagram. And the people that are coming to me now, they are coming because they are interested in learning more, not because they're staying on those apps and waiting for me to post the next thing. And I absolutely love that, because that is how we can actively do that work in that safe space. So I love that. Getting back to the topic of neglecting yourself to show up for others, what I have noticed, especially in my recent mastermind, I have noticed that the people who are in my closest spaces, right? My private clients, mastermind clients, even the ones who are in the membership, I've noticed that our conversation has evolved from the actual craft, and it's had to evolve to the emotional labor. And what I've noticed about this emotional labor is that a lot of the issues that a person has, or the reason they don't feel like going to work, or the reason why they're asking themselves, you know, if they should quit, or where their passion is, or things like that, is because of the emotional work. And a lot of it is that the emotional work that your clients are not doing becomes the emotional work that you are not standing firm and handing off back to them. So an example of that, which I heavily noticed that, especially when I was taking facial clients, it doesn't matter, you know, if you have a multi-million dollar client or if you have, you know, just a corporate mom or whoever, it doesn't matter what your client is. When you are working with people, when they come into, especially the beauty industry, when they come into the beauty industry, they're like, I'm coming because I need to make myself feel beautiful. Like, I need to fix myself because I'm not looking good. I don't feel good. And when I look good, I can do good and I feel good and I can just continue to move on and do the things I need to do. But a piece that people don't see, which is the piece that clients don't share, and it's the piece that professionals don't share, is that when that person is on your table or when that person is in your chair, that person is a ticking time bomb. A lot of times they are unleashing. They're having panic attacks. Some of them are just like totally high stress. Energy is extremely low. And they really subconsciously don't even know what they're doing, because they're coming in to get a certain service, but they're also coming in with this extra expectation that you're going to raise their energy, that you're going to raise their frequency, right? And one thing that I noticed when I transitioned over into a school, and it started going from, okay, we give to the clients, to let's talk to you about how to effectively work with clients beyond just the treatment, I noticed that a lot of people don't want to do that work. A lot of people don't want to show up to understand how to actually build a solid business without taking on the emotional labor. The beauty industry is fueled by emotional labor. It is fueled by emotional labor. And a lot of times the popularity that you see for people in the beauty industry, a lot of times you hear the conversation from their clients, and a lot of their clients know that those are not spaces that they can take their emotional labor to. Right? They know that if they go, they're going to get their hair done, but they're also more than likely going to be pissed off because the person is going to be late, or there might be an issue, or, you know, they know that they can go to this one person for nails, but they got to go to somebody else for feet. Like, they know there's not a place, a safe space that they can put down their worries and that they can get those things handled all in one. But when it comes to the other side of it, especially if you are an esthetician, I noticed that no estheticians are talking about this. A lot of estheticians are needing to do their own emotional work, and you can't, listen, you can't expand, buy another spa. Like, that's exciting to be like, hey, y'all, look, I got this luxury business. But like, if you're not doing the work behind the scenes of your own emotional labor, your clients are not going to stay with you. being an esthetician is a very intimate type of career. And it's why I am so firm about my mission of helping estheticians to raise their prices, because you're not just doing the service. You're also doing emotional frequency work. And if you yourself are not, you know, working on that, then you are going to have a hard time stepping away from the chair. You're going to have a hard time not feeling like you have to take responsibility of your clients. You are not their parent. They are full-on adults. But for some odd reason, when they come into your treatment room, they turn into children and you turn into a parent. And then you get upset because when you need to be in that child position and you want somebody to take care of you, a lot of people have a hard time doing that because they've never had to do that. In their personal life, they haven't had to do it. With their parents, they haven't had to do it. With their friends, they're always the mom. With their relationship, they're always the person that makes sure everything is good because they want love, but they're not receiving the same love that they're giving to people. And so when they come into my spaces, they have to be curious to come closer, because I'm not just going to talk to you about how to do an amazing facial. I'm going to talk to you about, hey, why do you have this lack of passion? Hey, why do you feel like this? Like, if you're coming into my space and you have this low energy and you're just like, well, I don't know, and I'm not sure, like, guarantee by the next time you talk to me, or within 3 days or within an hour, you're going to be full of energy and excitement again, because it's your life. And I'm not going to let you bring your Eeyore energy into my life. So equally, you got to work on that, right? The thing about this, though, is there's hard conversations that a lot of people don't want to have. And it's very sad. It's very sad because people don't want to have these conversations. And it's just, it's crazy to me. And I'm not going to go deeper into that, but it's just crazy to me that the emotional work that needs to be done is just not being done. What I will say is, if you are finding yourself online and you're scrolling through your feed and you're seeing like a lot of like content that is being, you know, fed to you because you've been searching for it. You're seeing content that's talking about, you know, showing up for yourself, or no longer having the strong woman syndrome, no longer being a people pleaser, you know, really look at that, because you're consuming it and you're agreeing with it and you're like, yeah, I get it. But what most women do is they don't actively do it. Okay. And when you look at how you consume this information, you also realize that in order for you to fully eradicate this people pleaserness that you have within you, in order for you to no longer accept the baggage that people don't want to carry themselves or put down themselves, you equally have to be a person that is willing to say no, leave people where they're at, and let people go. And what I notice is that there's this huge conversation of like how to be feminine, right? It's like, oh, femininity, how to be feminine. And the beauty industry is always going to be booming because people are like, oh, well, I got to get my hair done, my nails done, my facials. Let me just do all these things. But equally on the other side of that, the beauty industry is actually evolving into the self-care industry. And self-care is a very expensive industry to be in. There's no amount of money that can, you know, prove itself as the worth of the work that you actively have to do. You know, when you have a client that comes in and they're talking about a relationship and they're talking about, you know, how 1 minute they're one way, like 1 minute they're all excited to work on their journey, and then the next minute they have a conversation with their boyfriend and now they're starting to take on their boyfriend's mindset, and now they want to stop doing their work because their boyfriend said whatever. Oh, your boyfriend says you don't need these things, or your boyfriend said you don't need to work on your weight, or your boyfriend says you don't need to work on your skincare, your boyfriend says you don't need all these things. But you really needed those things at a time where you wanted to feel beautiful. You needed these things at a time where you realized that that was a safe space for you, and now you're going to walk away from your safe space because your boyfriend is saying it's not worth it, which subconsciously, it fits to what you believe about yourself when you yourself don't believe that you're worth it, when you yourself believe that you have to abandon yourself in order to help other people be happy. And this is a conversation where so many people in the world are having this conversation when it comes to relationships, when it comes to friendships, when it comes to marriages, right? People are walking away in droves. They are no longer dealing with the craziness. Even when it comes to motherhood, they are no longer dealing with carrying the full load of just being a single wife and all these things like that. But when it comes to business, a lot of people are running from this conversation and a lot of people are attacking this conversation. I went through massive crucifixion, okay? Because people just could not understand this conversation. Here's the thing. No client wants to work with an emotionally unstable professional. And no client wants to come to you and see that you have invaded their privacy and invaded their safety by monetizing their pain. And when you work in the self-care industry, you have to understand that. You have to be willing to say, I don't show these things because this is the work that my client individually does and I respect their privacy. You also have to be willing to show up in a way of knowing what to let go of and what deserves your attention. And a lot of things on social media does not deserve your attention. When you are consuming information, you can curate that. But when you are pushing information out, your job is not to teach people how to do your job. Your job is not to coddle people. Your job is not even to be relatable to people. Your job is to show what you actually do. And if you truly work in a sense of self-care and you're helping your clients get through breakups and you're doing a lot of emotional work, and I'm not talking Reiki. I personally don't believe any person that serves minority clients should be doing Reiki. And I'll talk about that in another episode. If you guys want to, you know about that, let me know, send me a message and I'll get started on that. But if you're going to be doing this work, this spiritual work, to really work with your clients, to help them raise their frequency, you also have to understand that not every person wants to raise their frequency. Not every person wants to be better. Some people only enjoy you when you're sitting there having a conversation about their problems. When you actually present them a solution, they are not ready to have it. And so you may notice with your clients that they are coming through and it's like every single time you see them, there's been no progress. And then you're trying to figure out ways, well, how can I get them to get in progress? You can't. You have to be willing to walk away and let them go. And you also have to understand that some clients may get upset. But you also equally have to say, the work we're doing here requires work. And if you're not willing to do the work, then there's no reason for you to be here. Because the alternative would be that you continue to work with them. You continue to take their money, right? You continue to do the service and get paid for it. And then they turn around and say, well, I paid you all this money and you haven't done those things. And that exact feeling that you would get from having that conversation with a client or a client, you know, going off about that, gives you the same type of feeling as when your parents were disappointed in you because you didn't do what they thought you should have done. And a lot of times your parents might not have even told you what to do. They just assumed these huge responsibilities on you at a young age. What I've noticed with a lot of clients that I work with and a lot of facial clients, hospitality clients, coaching clients, every single client that I've worked with, no matter what amount of money they make, a lot of them are successful because they are driven by the idea of an achievement. Because if I can achieve something, then I don't have to deal with anyone telling me I'm not good enough. And I want you to know that that is not the case. You can come into a space, especially when you say you want to work on your self-care, and you can be turned away. And that rejection, you have to be able to take it well. A lot of people are not able to take it well. A lot of people are like, what do you mean? I can pay to be in this space and how are you going to deny me? Because you can't pay for emotional labor. You can get in the room, but there's work that you have to do to stay in the room when it comes to the emotional labor that you have to do. And when you let those people go, 9 times out of 10, they may get irate. They may tell social media that you're a bad person. They may, you know, spread all these rumors because that's what people do. Okay. But when you actually look at it, you need, as much as you need people that praise and talk about the work that you do, you also need people that explain what your standard is like. And those people are not going to be able to explain it from a higher frequency. They're going to only be able to explain it from a lower frequency because they were not willing to rise to meet it. Okay. Now, I have noticed with the strong woman syndrome conversation that I am being led towards there. I'm noticing that I can no longer relate to the issues of the beauty industry. And I noticed it when I sat on a few webinars that people invited me to, where they're like, hey, you know, I want to invite you to these webinars. Like, can you kind of give your input? And I noticed that when I was talking in the webinars, that it was the same feeling that I had when I would go into actual rooms where there would be actual trainings. You know, back when we used to do in-person trainings a lot, it would be the same conversation where people are like, I want to know the secret. Can you tell us secrets? Let's all share. Let's all, you know, talk about the things we can do so we can grow our businesses, so we can be successful. And so many people are closing their doors, and how can we fix that? And the thing I want you to know is that this is the Great Reset. It has to happen. Any person who is expecting that they can sit online or sit on webinars or sit in the comments or sit on lives or just search through social media and YouTube University for the actual work that they need to do to be able to lead people into growth and results, those people are not going to go very far very fast. And we subconsciously know that. We know that we spend a lot of time being afraid to make a decision. Then you finally make a decision. Then you finally drop the money on whatever it is. And now you're paying full attention. And within 2 days, you're like, I should have made this decision sooner. We know this. But why don't we do it? It's because a lot of times people make it too complex to let things go. When it comes to having the strong woman syndrome, and when I talk to women about this, they realize just how simple it gets to be. And I think for a lot of people, they equate being feminine to not being masculine. And that is a lie. Okay. All the things you see online about femininity and soft life, and let me just sit back and relax and do nothing and things just come to me. There's a side of that where you have to be in your masculine. You have to be able to say no. You have to be able to make it simple. One example of how people misconstrue this is booking, for example. Let's say you have your booking site and it's linked, right? People can Google it. It's linked in your bio. And, you know, you just so happen somebody DMs you and you share the information. What a lot of people do is they go into nurture mode. And now when someone reached out about an appointment, now they're on the DMs or the messages or the text messages, and they're like, oh, what time do you want to come in? Okay, this is the time I have. Okay, what day are you looking for? Okay, like you turn into your assistant. You turn into a parent making an appointment for a child's doctor's appointment. And the very first thing that I have my clients do is I say, you need to get an auto responder, or you need to go ahead and do a text replacement in your phone. And it just needs to say, thank you so much for your inquiry. I'm attaching the link where you can book your appointment and see all the dates and times there. And then it has the link. And you may save it in your text replacement as booking site, like one word, booking site. And that way, all you have to do is when you see the message booking site and it goes pop up the message right there. And then if a client responds and says, well, can you just help me? People are afraid to leave that person on read. Why? Because a lot of times the clients that come in that drain you, that take away your energy, that don't listen, those are the clients that you didn't even give them the comprehension test to get in. And then when you hear that from a coach, you're like, well, no, you know, I can talk to them. I can have a conversation with them. I just want to help people. I need to, you know, love on them. Like, you know, I'm just here and available. Like, you know, but it's like, no, it gets to be simple. Here's the booking site. There's way too many opportunities and options for you to figure it out for me to sit here and just hand it to you. Because if I brought you in by handing it to you, in order to keep you, I got to keep handing it to you. And that's not what this is. You don't give people results. You help them to get stronger to be able to get their own results. That's your job. You're simply a guide. You're not the giver. And when people don't understand that, when someone has a post-actualization conversation about putting down people-pleasing, they're like, but it's so hard. And you see them in the comments, but it's so hard. And you're being insensitive. And I can't believe you said that. And no, it's not like this. And the reason is because this pre-conversation is not had where, why can't you make it that simple? a lot of times it's because of your father. The father you didn't have or the father that you did have that you realized you had to take care of. And when it comes to that father wound, which I am not a therapist, figure out your own wounds when it comes to that. But for a lot of women that I see that are hyper successful, that make a lot of money or have a lot of degrees or just focus so heavily on achievement and climbing these ladders, the reason they focus on achievement is because they really are their father's favorite son. They really are the man of the house. And so for them, that's why you see a lot of women in horrible relationships, because the minute that they feel like they can put something down, they attract men that don't equally match them. And that's a little subtle form of that people pleasing, because a piece of them wants that nurturing. And any man knows how to give you nurturing. But how long do you allow that nurturing to be complacency is the thing. A person can give you flowers, or a person can send you a nice text, or a person can say, good morning, have a good day, or a person can be nice to you and open the door for you, and it not mean that they are sexually attracted to you. And for a lot of women who are their father's favorite son, when they get that little touch of, I'm showing you you're still a woman, they don't know how to balance safely. It's hard for them to balance safely. They immediately go into the zone of what they deem femininity is, but it's not that. And that's another episode. But here's the thing. I want you to know that letting go does not have to be this complex or this arrogant thing. It does not. When you really start to get into your moments of saying no, at first it can feel as if you are dropping the ball for a lot of people. But you have to think about, how did you end up carrying all these balls and baggages anyway? And a lot of times, the people that you're doing it for didn't ask you to carry it. You just became the concierge that carries all these things for these people. And so you have to endure the consequences of whatever may fall when you no longer allow those things. For me, that was relationships crumbled, business or sections of business crumbled, because I was no longer going to do the work for people. It is work to do what I do. It is work to do what you do. And you make it look easy. People are like, oh, well, that's fine. She's not hurting. She looks good. She smells good. She knows how to make it look good. She's not hurting. She's dependable. You good. Keep showing up. You got this. And you're upset because that conversation keeps being had. And it's because you keep being that person that shows up in that regard. Letting go is going to be the first thing that you need to do. You may decide that you want to go on a sabbatical. There are many estheticians that are taking sabbaticals right now. If you decide that you are like, you know what, my first work of not doing this is me saying no, and I know that 50% of my clientele are going to leave, or 100% of my clientele are going to leave, it was not built on authenticity anyway. And so you have to be willing to do this work. This work can be started at any adult age, but starting this work and watching things fall is the part of the emotional labor that you have to do. And it is very hard to do that while you are also handling your clients and helping them to become stronger while you're still trying to become stronger. This is why it is important for you to get into the space, the safe space that can take care of you. It doesn't take long to make this decision, but we tend to make it complex because it's easy to go into our feelings. And that's just our feminine nature. But when you think about the masculine side and you understand how simple it gets to be, how the logic gets to be there, you no longer stop and ask those questions. You begin to remind yourself it gets to be this simple. This is the work. This is the price. This is the initial point of entry. If someone is asking questions, do they want to proceed, or are they just trying to get something for free? In business, that is the first barrier of pushing their work back onto them. If a person reaches out to you and they're asking more questions and they don't end up moving forward, it's not your business. Do you want to close clients? Absolutely. Do you want clients to work with you? Absolutely. But if a client is not a good fit for you, are you going to take that rejection personally? Absolutely not. And so once you get stronger into understanding what's your work, what's not your work, what's your emotion, what's not your emotion, what's your bag, what's not your bag, what's your responsibility, what's not your responsibility, you start to understand that when you show up this way, that the clients who actually are ready to do the work don't need all of that nurturing. They simply do what they need to do. They simply go ahead and invest, and then they're waiting for the next steps. They simply follow your funnels. The funnels you took so much energy and time to make, the website you took so much time to make, they are already self-guided to read and do what they need to do. This is going to be one of the greatest, most wealthiest, most enlightening shifts you will ever make into your life, because not only will you attract better people into your life, but you will also begin to be an example to your family of what happens when a strong woman takes the lead over her life and no longer becomes the person that shows up for other people by neglecting herself. You become the person that says, I show up when my light is green. Because when your light is always green, then you can show up and give 110% to everyone and still have for yourself. But when you allow yourself to get into the yellow, you allow yourself to get into the red, it is very hard to show up in the same way. And I absolutely love, her name is Francina. I love her so much. She talked about how when you are allowing yourself to get into yellow and red, which a lot of women are on red, you see through this colored lens that isn't the way it needs to be, right? And so if I'm on green and I'm talking to clients and my clients are on red, I'm talking about, hey, let's get you to your results. But their colored lens could be saying, oh, she's reflecting to me what I don't have. Who does she think she is? Oh, she's arrogant. Oh, I need to bring her down a notch. And so a lot of the conversations that you're having, they may be draining you, and you know you want to have these conversations, but you don't want them to take offense to that. And it's because deep down inside, you know that you're on yellow, they're on red, nobody's on green, you need someone to help you, but you're afraid to spend the money. And equally, the only way for you to get out of there is for you to actually rise yourself. When you rise, everything around you rises as well. But there is going to be an investment. And there's no other way that I can get around that conversation with you, is that your clients have to invest to get your time. You have to invest to also get your healing. The healer needs healing. The mentor needs a mentor. You equally have to do that. It doesn't stop. It only increases. And when you stop, your results stagnate or decrease. And that's just the way it is. It's not even a capitalism conversation. It's the law of reciprocity. You can't just expect to get into the spaces in the life that you want to have without actively doing your work. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation. I know that I can go on and on about this, but I just want to stop here. If you got some value out of this episode, I would love if you share it with a friend. And if you feel called to work with me, there are many opportunities to work with me in the show notes. Whatever you do, keep becoming elite.